Righto. Now by authority of Parliament, sitting at Westminster. Sitting it's supposed to be, but that's how they did it in those days. Concerning a shorter catechism, with the proofs thereof out of Scripture. So here is the shorter catechism, 400 years old, and it's asking questions, and it's giving the proofs out of Scripture. So I got a page from it. The shorter catechism explained, what is the chief end of man? Question. Answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's 400 years old, that saying. And here we are with it at Rosedale. What is meant by man's chief end? Answer. That which ought to be man's chief aim and delight, that he should seek after as his chief happiness. Why are you all sitting there with your heads to one side? Okay, well, isn't that great? We are now doing history. And so the rest of my talk is going to be dealing with how can we bring glory to God. And here, it's in your notes, and you can fill it in if you want to. Chronicles says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. And so I've left the space for you to put in this answer. How do we bring glory to God? We give God the credit for all that he is and does. We come to understand God and we thank him every day for all that he does for us. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which means that we use our whole lives to bring honour and praise to God. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? So in Corinthians 10, which we've had read to us, this is the kind of message that Paul was giving. He says, I've got a right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. And that comes before our verse that's on the wall here. So then it says, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And then you get this strange illustration about meat. It says, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, what's all that there for? Can I give you a wee understanding as far as I'm able? Halal meat is meat that is killed in the works a certain way. And if you have a person come to your place who believes that they can only eat meat that's killed in that direction, halal killing, and you put on your plate for them some meat that's not killed that way, and you say, eat it, you can offend their conscience because you're making them do something that they didn't really feel like they should be doing. Now, in the Bible times, there was a similar kind of thing, only in a scriptural way. They would take a lamb and it would be sacrificed and its blood was offered on the altar. And part of the meat was then given to the priest. And that priest, if he wanted to, could consume that meat or he could sell it in the market. So you could go down to the market and you could buy meat that had already been offered as a sacrifice to God. And you could eat that meat without a question of conscience. That's verse 25. But there were some people who still had a conscience about it. And so if you had them around for dinner and you offered them this meat, but they had a conscience about it, you are upsetting them. And the Bible says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Don't cause anyone to stumble. So if you are putting meat that's been offered to idols in front of someone who's got a conscience, you are inclined to make them stumble. Don't do it. Don't eat meat. Stop. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews or Greeks or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, that they may be saved. See what we do to glorify God? We put ourselves in the position of not upsetting people by disturbing their conscience and setting them a bad example. And that's how we came to this. Bring glory to God in all that you do, and the aim is that they may be saved. So, it follows on from that Jesus was talking to the disciples on the mountain. And it was about the end of things for Jesus on earth. And he gave his disciples the Great Commission. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's Jesus' instruction to us. If we want to bring him glory, we should be obeying that instruction. As a top aim, we should be seeking to win people for the Lord Jesus Christ and making them into disciples. And if each one of us did that with one person a year, we straight away need another church in Invercargill. And if we did it for 2 years, we need four churches. You see, overseas in many places, Christians are doing that, and in Korea, there can be 400 or 500 churches a year being established because people are obeying the Lord Jesus Christ's instruction. Well, I've got an illustration of how I feel about this. We went for holiday to Akaroa, as I told you a while ago, and Dawn and I had this lovely bedroom, and when we lay in bed, we were able to look out straight down the harbour at Akaroa, and that's me in bed. That's my feet. I thought, well, I better just take this photograph. And then the next morning, I did the same, and I looked out there, and here's this big liner coming in. So I got the telephoto lens and got a photograph of it. And then when it came in, we went out in boats to have a look at this big cruise ship, you see. And it was just beautiful. Look at it. Look at the size of the wee boat beside it. That boat down the bottom there holds 50 people. So it's a big cruise ship. And we went round the side. There were 400 rooms on each side. And each room had double doors and coffee tables and things. It was huge. And I've come back and I've entered a New World competition for going on cruises here. Yeah. And that's the back of it, you see. More. Nearly 4,000 people on that. And I got a bit upset when I went back to the house. I said to myself, there's all these people out there, and they're from every nation on earth, Japanese, Chinese, Russian, American, all over the place. And the Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations. And here's a whole lot of them out in front of me at Akaroa Harbour. I better get into the dinghy and take out some tracts and distribute them. I just felt that I wasn't meeting what the Lord had asked me to do, you see. So you're going to be seeing our family anyway, seeking to influence and win people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, we are bringing glory to God. Quite a lesson I had there. Now, why is that not going? Can someone tell me? Okay. And so there is the truth. Go and make disciples and bring people to God for the glory of God. How do we do it? Well, it's the Great Commission, and I just summarized it there by saying this. We can bring glory to God by doing what Jesus has asked us to do. Now, I'm not expecting you to fill in your notes for all the rest of it, but I have put in your notes the reading and the verse, and left you space for at home, for filling in, or for now, some aspects five of the ways in which we can bring glory to God. This is to show my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. We can bring glory to God by demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit. And in your notes on the back page, we're asking you to have a look at this at home and then give yourself a mark, 1 out of 10, maybe, for all of these things. For example, do you have peace in your heart? 1 to 10. Are you kind all the time? 1 to 10. Are you long-suffering? Man, that's a harder one, isn't it? 1 to 10. So go around the list and give yourself a mark and see if you can exercise some discipline in bringing glory to God. And then here's another one. It says here in Thessalonians, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this, look at it carefully, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We can glorify God through continuous prayer for other believers. And so, what are our opportunities at Rosedale? We've got a prayer list, some spare copies out there in the foyer. We've got prayer cards, which are being revised, of all the youth workers there in the stand out in the foyer. There are some prayer diaries out there from MAF and other places. And then we have church prayer on Sunday morning, and we're going to try and promote that. Men's prayer on Saturday morning, ladies' prayer on Tuesday morning, and a whole heap of other opportunities that we need to have people take some initiative and take up, so that we become a praying church. Then we will glorify God. Now, I was reading a little book, and it was quite an interesting statement. There's President Bush, and he's addressing a huge crowd. And the story goes, there was a guy in a hotel in Korea, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, he heard this commotion going on in the sports stadium next door. And he just couldn't get to sleep, but after a while he turned over and put his head underneath the pillow and went to sleep. And in the morning he got hold of the manager and he said, what was all that noise going on? What was the sports occasion at 4 o'clock in the morning? And you know what the manager said? That was the church gathered for prayer. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Korean Christians at 4 a.m. filling a sports stadium so they could pray to God. I think we've got a few lessons to learn, haven't we? How do we bring glory to God? Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. We can glorify God by exercising faith. How can we bring glory to God? Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. We can bring glory to God by having the right attitude in trials and tribulations. With permission, I've got a photograph of David Woodfield there. Now, you know, David came up here and in tears told us a few weeks ago that his wife and two kids had gone. They're now in Christchurch, and he's got no contact with them. And last Thursday, he came round to our house to tell me about his latest visit to the lawyer, and to find now that it's a judge in Northland has been given some control of this whole thing, and he didn't know exactly where his wife is or where his kids are. And I said, well, you better go and talk to the lawyer, David, a bit harder. And he said, Paul, it's more important to talk to God than the lawyer. God knows what he's doing, and I will trust him. There's an example in our church of someone trusting God and bringing glory to him through trials and tribulations. If you've got a trouble, take it to God and then rejoice that God is in control. And then we have heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. I mean, this is one of my favourites, of course. We can see glory of God in the wonders of creation. If it works all right, I've got one to show you in a minute. I'm sure it's going to work. A bit louder, please. The wonders of God in creation. Someone can just put some of the lights, please. That. But anyway, you've got the idea. I wonder if I can just quickly find it again. Ooh, look at that. Anyway, what it says, when it gets to the biggest one, the biggest red giant, there's its shape there, and it points to that little dot. See that dot there? That's us. That's Earth. And it is the fact that we are so small, and our God is so big, that that puts us into some kind of perspective there. So let's go on quickly. We can glorify God by being obedient to his will. How can we be obedient to God's will? Well, I picked up this old guy in 1683, and he said we can be obedient to God's will by saturating our minds with the wishes and words of God. And so that's the final part of our talk here. I want to ask you whether we in this church are receivers or reproducers. And so there is a church in the islands, and you can hardly see the congregation's eyes, and they're all busy writing down what the speaker is saying. And when he asked them why they were doing it, he said, "We are taking God's word, we will translate it into our languages, and we will reach our tribes." That's why the church is growing. They're going from church to the world to tell people about God. They are called reproducers. Here's another church congregation that's a little bit like what we're used to. Some have their Bibles open. A few are taking notes. Most are listening. Some are disengaged, and few are listening to reproduce. They are receivers. Now, I don't want to be hard on us, but in our church, in the main, we have been receivers. We have come and sat in our pews and listened to God's word and gone home and done not a lot about it. God wants us to bring glory to his name by being reproducers. That is quite the message. In Timothy it says, "But as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." You'll note that when Dean got up last week, he said, "Take your Bibles." Someone got up here this morning and said, "Hold up your Bibles." And I have asked you to read from your Bibles. We are going to major on the Scriptures in this church. And I just noted one person's comment, and I've put this in the front of my Bible. My Bible is presented to me, and it's presented to me by God. That makes it pretty personal and pretty special. I challenge you to put that in the front of your Bible. So, obedience to the word means we're going to get our hearts right with the Lord, we're going to get our wills in tune with his, we're going to get our minds active for the Lord, we're going to get our bodies fit and serving the Lord, we're going to get our money sorted out so that he has his rightful share, and we're going to put the future in his hands. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I'll watch over you." That's God's promise to us all. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so we bring glory to God by being obedient to his will in every aspect of our lives. That's why Bible reading is so important. There's our challenge. So we ascribe to the Lord all the credit for what he is and what he does, and we use our whole lives to bring honour and praise to him. There is Zach Guilford. And in the World Cup, he scored a try. And everyone was so excited. What he did brought glory to the name of rugby and brought glory to the All Blacks and to New Zealand. Within a very short time, he was photographed stone drunk, sitting on a seat on a pavement with flagons and beer and drugs all around him. And the question in the paper, what happened last night? Now he's given time out to recover. And there's a thoughtful Zach Guilford, who used to bring glory to the All Blacks and now has got to sort his life out. With permission, I put that photograph up. It's also another example as to why we need to update the photographs on the wall out there. Anyway, right there is Christopher. He's not here, is he? Okay. If he's here, you wouldn't recognise him. Stand up with your beard there, please. Henry, stand up. See his beard? Christopher's is twice as big. Sit down. And you would not recognise Christopher from that photograph. But at camp, Christopher had to give a talk. And he got up and he was more emotional than Dean last week. And he started crying at camp. And he said, "I want to tell you that my years at varsity were wasted as far as God is concerned." And I spoke to him last night and he said, "I did not bring glory to God." See? Like St. Guilford. But now Christopher has come home and he's turned his life over to God again, and he is seeking to serve God with all his heart. Another living example in our chapel. How can we bring glory to God? We realise that through God and Jesus Christ, all our iniquities can be washed away if we're failing him. And he can restore to us the joy of our salvation. And you see Christopher's face now, he has the joy of God showing in his whole countenance. We can glorify God when we're forgiven and restored. So how as a church can we help you as individuals to do all these things? Well, there's your packet. Take your packet, please. Don't open it yet. Don't open it yet. In your packet, you find some examples. For example, we've got a whole lot of doing God's work, God's way, some in-touch Bible study material, okay? There's a year's guide for reading God's word, and you've now been given resources to help you understand God's word. And you've got a letter in there from Rosedale Leadership saying what we're planning to do. I would like you just to take 3 or 4 minutes now to open your packet, be refreshed by what's inside, read the letter, and talk to someone about it. You may have whopper swappers if you want to. Read the letter. If you don't like the flavour, bring the paper to me and I'll bring you a new one next week. Right, well, you've got the idea. Out in the foyer, there's a whole table of examples of Bible study reading material, starting with material for young kids. So if you want to start your family or your grandchildren in a way that they're going to bring glory to God by reading the scriptures, there are some samples from Scripture Union. You can order on the spot by just opening the cover and writing your name down. The prices are there. And there's a whole lot of other material that you might like to take home if you want to start reading the Bible every day, meaningfully, or read the Bible in a whole year. They've all got pages inside that you can put your name on, and you don't have to pay for them. It'll be there for 2 or 3 weeks, and you can sort yourself out. Also, at the end of the table, there's one which has got free material on it. Dawn and I are starting to pack up. I've got a huge library, and I'm getting rid of some books. Good stuff, you see. I don't want to make you all nervous. Packing up will take 5 years. But there's some stuff out there you can have for free for daily reading material if you want to take it away. So there we are. Bringing glory to God in all that we do. And when we do that, that's real worship. You see? Shall we just pray? Father, we want to give thanks that your word is living and it's challenging and it's carrying instructions for us so that we can do your will and be obedient to you and bring glory to God in all that we do. We just ask that you'll part us with your blessing now. And challenge us to serve you faithfully, each one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Time for coffee.